The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
In the dark, I play my dream.
Welcome to episode 308 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth. Yeah, I like that chorus. Where we find our place. Okay, I don't have the best singing voice in the world, but pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. Yeah, where we talk about permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and just about everything else under the sun. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that sip into a pimp.
Bam! Living Soil Foundation. Well, if you just saw the latest video we put out on YouTube right now, you'll see that we are off and running and your donations made it possible. So, as I said before in the last podcast, we are about 90% there. Hopefully, Dr. Will will come back by the end of this week and give us some fantastic news. Tell us we crossed the finish line, because if we did, that means we did it in record time. And that means that all of these toxins and everything else, these forever chemicals, are locked up. And also got some other good news out there. It looks like Mike Adams is on board. I couldn't be happier about that. Yeah, he got with me the other day. Ann Vandersteel set it up. I know a lot of people in this audience reached out to him saying, hey, can you test this soil in Western North Carolina? Yeah. Look, I know he's a busy guy, just like me, just like you, just like so many others out there. And, Ann basically brokered the conversation, and it was brief, and he was quick to jump on it. He says, yeah, I'd be happy to test it. So he's going to look at it, you know, doing a mass spec analysis on heavy metals and all this other good stuff. So all I got to do is wait for the He needs certain vials for me to send it in. So once I get those vials and mark it up, I'll send him the initial test, and I'll send him soil that we didn't treat, just upstream of where we are, and then send him the soil where we are and see if the health ranger can get us squared away as far as some of these tests go. And then, of course, probably, even though it's going to cost a pile of money, look, we're under the microscope here. It sure is funny, son, how nobody ever asks the people, the powers that shouldn't be, nobody ever asked them to verify their test results when they say everything's fine.
They don't even have to show the test results. They can just say, oh, everything's fine, and people believe it.
No, they do. They just buy it hook, line, and sinker, and people just buy it. And then here we are on the other end of this thing, trying to do good work, not asking anybody for anything. I mean, outside of the donations that so many people have sent in right now, but we're probably going to wind up bringing in these environmental engineers from a third party, just so we'll have three different tests, hopefully verifying the same thing. And, of course, I got these clandestine locations as well that I'm not going to talk about, just in case some fool goes out there and does something. So I got plan B and C and D all the way down to F. That's how we got to roll in permaculture, because we have multiple redundancies. So we're going to see exactly where we are on a lot of that good stuff. Anyway, Living Soil Foundation is off and running, and they are a sponsor of this show, and that's what's making this progress out there possible. So I want to thank everybody out there. I mean, so many people have not just given through Give, Send, Go, but have also sent money to the P.O. box, and I can't thank you folks enough, especially at a time, and we're going to be talking about a lot of that today, at a time in America where it's difficult to put food on the table. So don't apologize, because all you had was $2. Believe me, every dime of that $2 is going to the cause, and we're going to get to this finish line one way or the other. So I want to thank everybody out there. You were going to say, son?
Oh, no, I was saying, yeah, that's awesome whenever, because I had the same thing going on whenever I had that disaster relief Give, Send, Go going on. People were sending money to the mailbox, and you could tell, like, it was just awesome, the heart of some of these people. Even though they might be struggling, they're still sending what money, leftover money they have, to go help some other people who know that are struggling.
It really rebuilds your hope in humanity, especially when you have nothing but example after example. As it seems, you would think we live in Gotham City. Every time you turn around, there's nothing but examples of awful things going along. And then you realize, man, they're just so, especially you go to a homestead meetup like the one that we're going to have this weekend. Ben and Denise at Renewed Homestead are having this next one. I forgot to announce it before. It's going to be this Saturday. And, man, I don't have the details on there. Hopefully, if Denise is in the chat, I know she's busy tonight, so I'm not sure about
that. You know the website? I can pull it up if you know, like, where it might be linked.
Maybe go to renewedhomestead.com. Michelle, if you're listening right now, if you can add it in here, that'd be great. And then we could put it up on the screen, then I can talk about it. But I don't have the information on that. But anyway, when you go to these homestead meetups, or when you go to some of these events, or it's when you really get boots on the ground where you realize just how awesome so many people are. And it's not like they tell you it is in the big cities and stuff like that. But even there, you still have enclaves of people that are just absolutely fantastic, wonderful people. So that's exactly what this looks like when you get down to brass tacks on all this, man. There are just some fantastic people that are willing to give their last mite, man, just to move the needle a little bit, just to feel like they are. And folks, I can't thank you enough. I know I keep saying that, but man, it just drops my jaw every time I think about it, how many people have just contributed. And I can't thank you enough. Hey, want to thank everybody in the chat out there. Mountain Readiness in the house. Tommy Luck, Chris White, Stephen Jones. Let's see, who did I miss up here? We got a whole gang of them. Sycamore Soul. Man, that sounds like a name of a band.
It does.
Sycamore Soul. I got to say, that's a ballin' name right there. Sycamore Soul. Yeah. You know, hey, if anybody has a last name Soul, man, you really ought to consider naming your kid Sycamore. That's a ballin' name right there. So anyway, we'll just jump right into the farm news. Well, folks, good news for all you folks out there. We finally got some rain, so I was able to make some bone sauce, and I made a fair bit of it. We got it on the website, but it's selling out. The first batch I made absolutely sold out, like, within hours. I don't know how long this is going to be on there, but we got some. And we also have Comfrey up for sale, so we were able to harvest some of that as well. And in that video, I didn't go into a lot of great detail. Didn't want to look like some gratuitous salesman. But honestly, we have it. And if you want it, it's there. And the cool thing about a lot of these products, they're not trinkets, you know, like so many other people sell, man. We're selling you things that honestly you can use. So if you need some, it's at the website, and we got it up squared away. So thankful for the rain, but it did get cold. And here I am sitting out here following Dr. Jack Cruz's protocol, and I'm freezing my kishkas off out here because all of a sudden it got cold again. And I'm out here buck naked, there ain't no sun, so I'm trying to get as much vitamin D as I possibly can. And like I said, folks, if you don't have it yet, maybe consider getting that D-Minder app for your phone. And that thing is the shiznit as far as, look, a lot of us in construction or that have done construction, we think that we try to do a lot of our work around the heat of the day, but there's so many times where you're not really getting the benefit of the vitamin D that's out there. A lot of us on the farm, we try to do it early in the morning or in the afternoons, and then we miss the midday, and that's where you're getting most of your vitamin D. But this D-Minder can help you manage that. You're putting your skin type, all your other little data, your weight and all that stuff, and it'll tell you exactly where your vitamin D levels are or where you should be to hit the optimal space. And for those of you pale skins out there, it ain't that, yeah, you got it easier because you don't have it that, you don't have to go that long. Thanks for the money, Jacob Walbert. Yeah. 099. Yeah. Michelle says, I can't find a meetup, but if you're interested, we can send an email to renewedhomestead@gmail.com, and they will send the details. Michelle, if you can find the name of that location.
I tried. I couldn't. I was looking at it, and I couldn't find. The address was Burnsville, basically. There was like a Google link for like you click on it and then it'll give you directions, but that wasn't working, and it kept saying the registration is now closed. So I looked on their social media. I couldn't find anything other than Facebook. I don't have access to Facebook because I don't have a Facebook.
Well, yeah. hopefully Thursday I can have it all squared away. But yeah, I kind of dropped the ball on that. Okay, so other things I'm doing out here, folks. Here's another little hack for you. Okay, so let's say you got your animals out in the field. I did that video the other day where the sheep are out there, and I can't even. These pastures are looking absolutely fantastic right now. And
yeah, they are.
They are absolutely balling, son. Mm-hmm. We got a but. You also you're going to find those areas where you do have bare spots, folks. Greg Judy 101. Go out there. You don't even have to put seed down. Just cover it with a little bit of hay. Go out there. You don't have to feed it to them. In fact, I'm using hay that's kind of like spent, no good. I mean, I don't have any. They won't eat this stuff anyway. Not when they got real grass. So I put it down in those bare spots. Just kind of stomp it in a little bit. It doesn't require much. You know, just a few inches just to keep the sun directly off of it. It will pay dividends in massive ways. So that's one of the things I was doing today. After the sheep move, I'm able to see where the spots are bare. And that's one little hack you can do. Now, if it were in the winter months or whatever, or you're on flatter ground, we can't do it here in these mountains. But if you have a round bale, you can roll out a round bale. Yeah, people are going to think, oh, what a big waste. No, it's not. Son, what do you
do? You can roll out a round bale. You can roll out a round bale if you start at the top and then get out of the way.
Well, yeah, you could. But son, what's the benefit of putting this carbon down, even if you have denuded soil? Because in every single case, when it comes to pasture management, you're going to always find, I don't care which grazer, which, you know, awesome grazer you go to, it seems like the answer is always carbon. Why is that?
Well, with the hay specifically, the reason it's cool is because it includes seeds with it. So you're going to get seeds along with it. But it also provides an environment that isn't directly exposed to the elements. So it protects the soil biology underneath the hay. And that provides the environment for the seeds to actually germinate and thrive, because the plants won't grow unless you have the appropriate biology for that plant. And and then it's also adding carbon to the soil, which is that's more of a fungal food. So whenever the time comes, it can start getting broken down by the fungi and everything. But yeah, it's just the beginning stages of growing something on bare denuded soil. You have to protect the soil first.
Folks, we don't plan any of this. You know, every time I ask him questions, he doesn't know they're coming, folks. That's why he's the pasture raised pimp. You see what I'm talking about? And I'm the permaculture pimp daddy. No, I mean, there's so many hacks doing this, and they fancy themselves, or they try to pretend that they know anything about this stuff, but they know a book knowledge of it, but they've never physically done the work. You've done the work. And so have I. And that's why I know that I'm not catching you flat-footed when I ask you a question like that, because I know, like me, it's a rhetorical question to a certain extent, but I know you, even without any preparation, I know you have the answers. And folks, that's what, just like Joel always says, you can't Google experience. I'm not saying that to be cute, but that's really what it takes. I mean, you got to get out here. You have to physically do the work. You can read all the books in the world. You can read Stockman Grass Farmer, which is, by the way, the best publication out there when it comes to grazing and anything like it. You can go ahead and read all these publications, but until you put foot to butt, until you get out there and actually do the work, it doesn't mean anything. And folks, I'm big, big, big on actually putting foot to butt. I'm big on apprenticeship, big on apprenticeship. Yeah. It's the best teaching and learning modality out there. So back to that. That's exactly what I'm doing right now. So as they go through, and in some cases where the patch was big enough and I could see it, I put it down ahead of time. And you don't even need to seed, folks. You already have seeds in that bank already. I guarantee it. You don't have to, but if you want to, that's fine. But you don't have to. You don't have to waste a dime on seeds. Excuse me. You just cover it up with carbon, and then you let the magic happen. Let it sit, and it's going to blow your mind. Mountain readiness is all, son, I'll throw this one up for you. Cool. Is all comfort created equal? We have comfort growing, but it's a particular one that is best. But is there a particular one that's best, and why?
Yeah, there are some that are more preferable. Like if you use the one that's native to the United States and North America, it's not as palatable to your animals, and it's also lower on the allantoin levels if you're trying to make like a tinctures and salves. And so it's allantoin or allotonin. Yeah, it's lower on those levels too if you use the North American native variety. What we use are the Russian Bocking number, is it 4 or 14? I think 4. It's 14.
Four.
Yeah. And that has the highest allantoin levels, and then also it's the most palatable to your animals. It's the least bitter. And yeah, when you Google Comfrey, you're going to get a bunch of information about how it's, you know, creating liver toxicity and how it's killing animals and all that stuff. That's never been recorded outside of a lab, and consuming the whole plant like your animals typically would be doing. There's an enzyme that also breaks down the liver damage causing, you know, stuff in the Comfrey plant. So if you eat the whole plant, you're good to go. But it's whenever you start singling different chemicals outside of the plant, that's whenever you start having issues, and only in a lab.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because there was a time in America where they would plant entire fields full of this stuff and never any problems. So folks, look, I'll put it this way. I'm not going to, I got to be really careful in this platform about how I'm saying it, but bottom line is I have yet to see an animal die. There could be a field full of poisonous stuff. Sean and Beth Doherty talk about this a great deal, and even Sepp Holzer, that you want to grow as many poisonous things as possible. Because if an animal, it will never kill itself eating something that will kill it if it has an availability of something it can eat. I've never seen it happen. Even though there are poisonous things all around, they will partake. Look, you drink too much water, it'll blow up your freaking kidneys. So, I mean, you know, you just gotta think about these things, and just realize that everything the powers that shouldn't be tell you is in 9 times out of 10 a manufactured lie. And real quick, that gathering is going to be at Cane River Baptist Church, 15 Cane River Road, and that's Burnsville, North Carolina. And I believe, Michelle, if you could put the times in there, that would be great. And if you got time, I know your mom's, she's probably ready to pull her hair out because I keep asking her to do stuff, and I know she's busy right now. Wow.
She also said that Bocking number 14 or 4 is the highest in protein as well, which it is already pretty high in protein.
Well, and then also B12. I mean, it's the only one of the few plants out there that actually stores B12. So, I mean, it's great for everything. Back in the Civil War, they called it knit bone. And there was a lady that sent, man, I really wish I'd have kept that picture, that email, where the doctors wanted to, the vets wanted to cut off her dog's leg. And she said, oh, no, forget that. She went ahead, took some of our Comfrey, made a salve out of it, and somehow made a splint for the dog, and the dog was up and running again. So
that's wild.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, Comfrey has the problem. Like, if you don't do it correctly, Comfrey has the problem of healing too quickly.
Yes.
Like, if you have a huge gash, you don't really want to use Comfrey because the skin will heal over everything else. And apparently, cause infection. I don't have any experience with that, but yeah. Cuts, scrapes, burns, all that type of stuff, it's fantastic for. But if you got a chunk mission, you might want to do something else. And mom said it's from 11 to 3 on Saturday.
11 to 3 on Saturday. Okay, so once again, that is 15 Cane River Baptist Church, 15 Cane River Road, Burnsville, North Carolina. Thanks, honey. Yeah, I like this one. C plus H2O equals life, man. I like the way that rolls. And then Ken and Amy are, wow, just interviewed them last week. They said ran in from the hail. Oh, man, they live down the road from us. Man, like, we haven't had enough problems around here. Hopefully that hail ain't coming this way. Hell no. yes, tons of negative, but ain't trusting what Google says. Yeah, I hear that. So, So the last little thing I'm going to get here, and then I'll hand the baton over to William, is still, folks, we're still cleaning up after that hurricane. And it's a, I'm starting to just get back in the saddle of making videos again. I've just been so exhausted just trying to keep up with the workload and everything. I just haven't had a chance to do it, but I'm getting back in the saddle now. And honestly, I kind of feel it my duty to do so right now, especially with all the things going on, and so many people have gone right back into the matrix, as I predicted. And now you got a reason to come back out of it, but we'll cover that in the main topic. Son, what's going on your end?
So, some of you guys might remember a couple of weeks ago. In fact, it was the week before I left to go up to North Carolina. I had to shoot a problem dog in the neighborhood. It was like, what was it? French bulldog or something like that. It's like a taller, bigger pug, basically, with like longer legs. But this thing was, it was aggressive. It was killing chickens. It snapped at Emily and also the backdoor neighbor lady. Bit her up and down the arms when they were trying to get it in the crate the first or second time it got out. That was whenever it was killing chickens. There's two dogs that my neighbor has, and they're both French bulldogs, they're both same kind. One is super sweet, and the other one was just aggressive. Like, you reach for it, it just starts snapping at you, and it would go after you as well. So after, like, multiple times, like three or four times of the dogs getting out, wreaking havoc, calling animal control, talking even to the neighbor lady, talked to her directly. I was like, hey, like, I know your dogs get out, like a bunch of dogs get out around here, but this is the only one that's aggressive. Like, I have a baby, you know, I have a baby and she's in the backyard playing. Like, if there's any issues, I'm going to have to shoot the dog. Like, please fix your fence. Or her son needs to fix the fence. They're his dogs, but he doesn't live there anymore. But he's just leaving them over there and she's not taking care of him. He only takes care of him whenever he comes over, once every couple of days. So they're like emaciated. Their hip bones are showing. Their spine is showing. Like, he might be killing chickens because he honestly might just be hungry. And the killing chickens part, honestly, is a minor aspect of this. The biggest issue is that the dog is like eye level with June. And I'm not even going to let there be an opportunity of that happening. So, like, literally hours after talking to her for, like, the fourth or fifth time, the dog I noticed in the backyard is tangled up in the electrified chicken netting. And I'm like, all right. I go over to the neighbor's house. She's not home. The neighbors behind me are outside playing, like, in the yard. And I tell them, hey, you guys might want to go outside. And then the mom that was there instantly understood what was going on because she got bitten up by that dog. And we already had a conversation about this dog. So they go inside. I take my 22 and I just pop it in the back of the head. It's an instant death, completely no pain or anything like that. And it's like right before we're leaving for North Carolina. So before we leave, I'm kind of keeping a lookout for her. I don't see her. We leave for North Carolina. And then I don't know if you remember, Dad, but I got a call from the guy who was house sitting for me saying, hey, you have three dead chickens. And I'm like, all right, that was probably them. Also bizarre that I have three dead chickens right whenever I leave town. Two of them were dead. One of them was injured. The two that were dead, he took care of. And then whenever I got home, I inspected the one that was injured. And there was clearly like a hole up by its thigh. And there was like blood around it. And then there was this big gash that I think the other chickens caused. Once they found out it was injured, like chickens, they have no mercy when it comes to that. And so I go ahead and put her out of her misery and then take her over to the pigs and all that stuff. And then flash forward to two nights ago, I'm coming home from the gym. It's about 9:30 at night. It's dark out. And I noticed the neighbor's son is over in town. He has like a white Civic, I think. And as I'm getting out of the car, he comes up and says, hey, did you shoot my dog? And I was like, yeah, I did. It was in my backyard. I was like, did you shoot my chickens? And then he gives like a long pause. And then he's like, yeah, I did. And I'm like, your dog was in my backyard and it's aggressive. My chickens were in my backyard and you shot across property lines. And he's like, that dog was $2,300. And I was like, okay, you didn't take care of it. It was in my backyard and it's aggressive. And he's like, that dog was $2,300 and keeps going on about that. And then I was like, dude, I don't know what you want, but like the dog was in my backyard. And he's like, well, we're going to have problems then. And then starts walking off. And I was like, all right, let there be problems then. And then I go in the house and, you know, prepare for any problems that might happen, which the guy was bluffing. He's one of those guys that thinks he can like just intimidate anybody into doing whatever he wants. I think he's trying to get cash out of me for that dog or something. I don't know. He's also making up that number. So that night I'm like, all right, Sheila, his mom, my actual neighbor, seems to be slightly reasonable. Like I've given her eggs before. She was in complete agreement about the dog beforehand. Like she knows the dog was a problem. She was mad that the dog was messing with her egg supply because we were giving her eggs. All that type of stuff. And then also understood when I said, if this dog is in my backyard, like my daughter plays out there, I'm going to have to take care of it. She completely understood. So flash forward to today, I'm about to head over to the post office and then go feed the pigs. And as I'm leaving, I notice that she's sitting in her car. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. She's here. I can talk to her, maybe, you know, broker peace. And I'm on the property line and I'm like waving at her, like, hey, I want to talk if that's fine with you. And she starts getting out of her car. And I was like, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but the other night, and she's like, I know what the blank my son did. And then just starts going off full hood rat moment the whole time. She just starts going off. And I'm like, hey, the dog was in my backyard. She's like, that dog wasn't blanking in your backyard. And I'm like, then there's no reason for me to shoot it. If it wasn't, like, there's witnesses, the backdoor neighbor, they knew what was going on. They were there that day and all that stuff. And she just keeps going on saying, you know, you were wrong. You know, you're wrong over and over again. And I was like, all right, if you think I am wrong, let's get the law involved. Let's bring in like a mediator of some sort. Like this whole Hatfield and McCoy thing is not happening. That's not going to happen. Like, let's get the law involved. And she didn't want to hear anything about that. She's like, oh, don't worry, I got my own law and stuff like that. And yeah. And then she said that she's going to call the owner of this house and get us kicked out, which A, we're the owners of this house. B, the person who sold it to us was my wife's grandmother. So like, yeah, she's trying to pull that. And I was like, do you want her number? I can give you her number. You can call her. It's my wife's grandmother. And she's like, I don't give a blank. And then went on to confirm what her son said. And she's like, yeah, you're doggone right. There's going to be problems. You can go ahead and tell your wife and baby there's going to be problems too. And at that point, I was like, all right. So I immediately left, went to the police department, got that squared away, filed the report. Thankfully, the guy that was there was my friend, the constable of DCAB. And yeah, he went over there and talked to her.
Don't reveal too much. You're saying you're revealing too many details. Don't do that.
Well, I can sum it up by saying this. Like, she basically, while she was on the phone with him, agreed to, like, okay, if he doesn't do anything, then I won't do anything type thing. But we're getting cameras up. We're squared away. All that type of stuff.
Yeah. First thing you need to do is raise up out of there. Moral to the story.
Yeah. This is where I'm leading. So if anybody needs a farm like manager or something like that in Tennessee, let me know. Or if anybody is selling cheap or land for very, very cheap in Tennessee, let me know. Or if you're maybe being like an elderly couple or something like that, that's interested in homesteading and needs a strong back, let me know. I'm so tired of this stupid state, man. It's not the whole state of Texas. It's just this part of Texas, like specifically where I'm at in Texas. It's filled with intentional dummies.
Let me guess. You dealing with a bunch of hood rats?
Yep.
How did I know?
Yep.
Yep. You're lucky it wasn't a pit bull or something like that. I mean, look, man, this is a story of my life. This is some, just keep your powder dry. Might have some options here. This is exactly why I can't stand neighbors. I mean, especially, I don't know what it is about certain places where everybody lets their dogs run wild and they'll get over here, like tear up the neighbors. I mean, you were there when our dog would get out. I swear I was going to shoot that thing right there in the neighbor's, my own dog, or your mom's dog rather, in the neighbor's yard, because I am not going to be responsible for damaging somebody else's property because of my animal. I mean,
while mom was on deployment.
I told your mom, sorry, Opal didn't make it. And you know what? I would have slept just fine doing it, because I'm not going to have my dog screwing up somebody else's property. And there's I can't believe the number of people out there that are completely fine with allowing their animal to screw up somebody else's place or kill their animals or whatever the case may be. But man, you're talking about my son and granddaughter, man. I know your mom's down there fuming right now, ready to get on the first thing smoking.
There's nothing to be worrying about. These people are all talk. Like, the police department knows this dude sells weed. Like, he ain't even quiet about it. He like blatantly has people coming up buying weed out of his mom's house. But yeah, it's they're more talk than anything. And the reason I'm talking about it here on the podcast is the more people that know about it, the more the people that can like witness to the record and everything, the better. Like, we got Reynolds and Hosprey.
Yeah. Hey, you're not kidding either, man. They were just on the show.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
You gotta raise up out of that part. Yeah, there's a whole lot of it's an inexpensive place to live, but at the same time, when you find yourself in locations like this, you're invariably going to invite in a certain group of people that, look, man, I'm just here to grow food and do my thing, and then you're always going to have these hood rats that show up and want to, you know, sell weed out of the side of the house or whatever. So,
which I don't even care about that. If you just leave me alone and I'll feed the doggone community, just leave me alone. Keep your dog out of my backyard. It keeps killing chickens. I've been giving you free eggs. Yeah. Just leave me alone and I'll give you food.
Well, yeah, son, we'll talk offline about some of this stuff, but anyway, we'll just pray that the good Lord intervenes in this and, you know, that justice prevails. But honestly, and that sort of thing is just mind boggling all over that part of Texas, at least that part. A lot of places in Oklahoma, they just let their animals run. And I never understood that. I was like, okay, my whole property in this mountain is fenced off to keep my dog in. That, in fact, I've done a video on it. The idea is, what good is it having a livestock guardian dog who doesn't stay in the place? It's like this. If you got a dog that just roams anywhere, well, what good is it if they're not with your livestock? I mean, they got to stay with them to be effective. And honestly, I just can't have my dog going over there doing who knows what on somebody else's property. Just can't have it. So that's exactly why.
If the roles were reversed, if my dog was going over and like aggressive towards anybody else, I completely understand. Yes, you have to put that dog down. There's a hierarchy of life. There's humans, and then dogs are way down at the bottom. Like, if the dog is threatening a human, the dog's got to go. And it's not like its job to, stuff like that. But just down the road, I know of a family who's it's some sort of Malinois. It got attacked by two pit bulls, and the neighbor is mad that his dog was barking at the pit bulls. Pit bulls came on their property, and I mean, that Malinois did some work, but it also received some injuries. They had to go for surgery and all that type of stuff. Yeah, but if anybody knows anything, email me at thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com.
Yeah, there was that guy in Kansas. I remember when we lived there. I mean, your dog got on there chasing his animals, man. He'd shoot your animal and then throw that sucker right over the fence. And I mean, look, that's the basis of farm life, y'all. At the end of the day, you got to be responsible for your stock. And look, this is the permaculture ethic. I mean, not the ethic, but the prime directive. Be responsible for everything you do and fail to do. And that applies to your family and your animals as well. So, you know, there's even a maxim in the Bible. I mean, it's right there. You know, you got an animal that you know is aggressive and has been known to do this. Well, you need to put him down. So, you know,
and if you've been warned of this and you don't do it, then you receive the punishment instead of just that animal dying.
Right. Well, it's sad that there's so many animals out there that have owners that are. This is exactly why, I mean, America, not the crowd we're talking to right now, but honestly, this is why I really no longer understand my country anymore. I mean, we have people that are so flippant stupid. It's like we're living in that movie, Idiocracy. It's become a documentary. And I can't even believe some of these things have to be stated to people. But yeah. So Tommy, we'll go ahead and move on here. Tommy Luck is asking another cool name. What kind of electric sheet fence are you guys using? Which brand? And thank you. Just about every look, I've tried a lot of them out there, and the one I go back to is Premier One every single time. And when they got sheep fence, they got goat fence, they got some of them that are like the Rolls Royce of fences, but they're not necessary in my view. I use a 48 inch chicken fence, 148 feet long. I can't remember. I got the longest one for the sheep, for the chicken nets. I can't even tell you how many nets I got. For the pigs, I got the two strand pig net. It may be three strands. I can't remember. Got two of those. Oh, I got several of those. And then for the sheep, they make a sheep fence, and I get the 48 inch because you're going to have some that will want to jump out. You know, and when they do, okay, prime example, what am I going to do when I got one sheep that consistently jumps out of that fence in the oven? You're going to go. That's how you deal with it. And I mean, I know we're affectionate towards our pets and stuff like that, but if I will shoot my own dog, if he becomes a menace, I don't have to worry about neighbors doing it. So, solar or battery.
I would say that, real quick on the fencing, Dad, the most important thing you need to look at are the feet on the fence. That's going to be the most important thing. Cause if you get the ones that are just a single spike, depending on your soil, you're going to have issues unless they're the drivable ones that you can actually take a rubber mallet to. So they have step-in ones. Those are pretty good. But anytime you can get like the upgraded, thicker, more like better built feet, do that. The ones that you can step in or drive.
Now he's also asking solar power to battery. Okay. I am not a big fan of solar. Now this is going to be your charger. Anything that's made in Germany, Australia, or New Zealand is what I buy. Without question. Greg Judy turned me on to that a long time ago, and I'm right there with him. You can go ahead and go to Tractor Supply, get one of those chargers, and they just kind of peter out. I mean, sucks, but you know, you want the best, you're going to have to go to those places. And I always get battery powered, and I just change out the battery every time. You can hook a solar onto it, but the solar usually can't keep up with it unless you get a pretty big rig. So I use battery. DC, I got one that can go DC, AC, you name it. So, and I can't remember that Speedrite might be the name of it. I think that's the name of it. But yeah, they're pricey, but I guarantee you will buy that thing one time, but you'll buy the others once every couple of years. So not a big fan of those depots.
I'm looking at three different broken Energizers right now, all different brands from Tractor Supply.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't buy those. Always get the best. You're going to have to spend a little bit of money for them, but and honestly, everything in America, it's planned obsolescence. They engineer it to fail. I mean, there was a time in this country where we would take pride in such things. I'm old enough to remember those days. I remember, son, I actually remember a time when Walmart bragged about their products being made in the USA. I remember that time. Yeah, there was a time. And well, now we're going to get here in a little bit. We're going to talk about some of the reasons why you might want to rethink some of this stuff. All right. So Wave Watch, Billy 100 will get you $100 off that Wave Watch. Has all those cool tones on there that'll get you squared away from everything from a headache, or if you just, you know, your anxiety's kicking up, it'll get you squared away on that. So Wave Watch, Billy 100 will get you squared away May 2nd through the 4th, Mountain Readiness. I'm going to be there. Let's see, Pat Miletich and Dr. Will's going to be there. Looking forward to that. And Pat's going to show you how to strangle a man. So, son, you might want to show up to that one. Pat's going to show, well, you know.
I can't. I won't be able to go up to that one. I got that, that one. Right.
Yeah, you got the event out there in
Midwest Preparedness.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, Pat Miletich, former UFC world champion, and has probably trained more champions than anybody else on the planet. And, you know, trained the Navy SEALs, Delta Force, you name it. I mean, this guy will show you how to strangle a man with your bare hands. So Pat's going to be there. He's a friend of mine. And Dr. Will, another friend of mine, and a whole lot. And Vandersteel is going to be there too. And, so there's going to be a whole lot of awesome stuff out there. Folks, I'm telling you, there's no other festival like it. So this is the one I definitely will not miss. All right, May 4th from 1 to 4 p.m. in Lawrence, South Carolina, homesteadergathering.com. You want to go check that out if you're in the area. If you can't make it over to Mountain Readiness, go check them out. You're going to be glad you did. So if anybody else has any homestead events, if I'm not too overwhelmed, I mean, I'll try to give you a shout-out on the show. So many of us feel like we're isolated, and that's why it's one of the many reasons I suggest going to things like Mountain Readiness. You're going to probably go there and realize, oh shoot, there's five people over here that live just down the road from me, and you had no idea they were even there. It happens every single time. So go check them out. You're going to be glad you did. All right, so let's get into some of this good news. House passes SAVE Act that requires citizenship for proof of voting in federal elections. How about that? Huh. Let's see if it actually gets through. Let's see if this thing, and let's see if it gets through and it actually has any teeth. I really want to see this happen. If you don't have the fidelity of your elections, you're living in a banana republic, bottom line. And I don't think there's been a fair and honest election since who knows when. All right. Yeah. So here's some other ones. Chemtrails unveiled, how the CIA and big business are manipulating the weather for profit. This one came from Natural News. And folks, I mean, people want to say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Can you say the word conspiracy without saying theory? Every time you do that, you make yourself look like a dope because the CIA came up with it right after the Kennedy. This is declassified, by the way. You can go look it up. Go find out for yourself. Probably even put it into a search engine. Find out where conspiracy theory came from. Like I said, it was invented. It was used by the CIA to marginalize anybody who asked any critical questions about Kennedy and who really killed him, which, by the way, just happened to be the CIA, along with Mossad and a few other people. Oh, yeah, just hit the streets on that one. Anyway, in this article, they basically, in a nutshell, showing how these people are in it together. Now, why is this good news? It's good news because now it's starting to see the light of day. What people like Dane Wigington and a number of others, in fact, I think Dane doesn't like it when I call it chemtrails. He prefers, I talked to him the other night, and Dane was giving me the heads up on some certain things that are going out there. Like people are saying that, oh, they're putting it in the fuel. No, you're not putting it in the fuel because aluminum melts at like, 2,500 degrees, but the jet engine is 3,500 degrees, so it wouldn't come down in intact aluminum particles. No, they're spraying this stuff out. Fact.
If you go to his website, he has like images and diagrams and pictures of like all this stuff, like the actual sprayers that are on the wings and all that type of stuff.
Yes, that's exactly what's going on. But now you got people like Alex Jones and a number of others out there. All of a sudden, you're seeing all these guys saying, well, it's in the fuel. No, it's not in the fuel. It may be in the fuel, but by and large, it's some of it may be in the fuel. I'll put it that way. By and large, it is absolutely being sprayed. In fact, you watch the documentary that Dane put out, the dimming, unimpeachable that there are actual nozzles on the sides of it. They've collected this stuff. They've tested it. Yeah, it's a messed up deal. But anyway, the reason why I'm calling that good news is that it's actually starting to see the light of day. Now, here's our last good news article. Pomegranate juice lowers troponin levels, offering real prevention against heart attacks. So, yeah, there's some legit good news there. Now, pomegranates, I've never been a big fan of pomegranates. I've never been.
Yeah, me neither.
I never was, but I was like, I saw this article and I'm like, huh, I know some people might be. I mean, you know, there was a couple of recipes you put stuff in there and might put it in your smoothie or stuff like that. Well, there's a reason why you might want to check it out. So there you have it on that. All right. So Redemption Shield. Look, every time I do a show, my feet are on this grounding mat. I'm G'd up from the feet up every single time. And I mean grounded. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And by the way, y'all, I didn't mention it before, but I'm on X now at Perma Pastures Farm, I think. So I put a lot of stuff over there, things that I can't necessarily get away with over here, but then I put things on here that I can't necessarily get away with on X. So go subscribe on X. And I was not a big, and I'm still not a big fan because of the games they're playing, and they only seem to be doing it with me and a few others where I'm not able to put long for, even though I paid for this X account, I'm paying for it. All of a sudden, you know, I can't go live over there. I can't broadcast from X. How about that? I wonder why. Yeah, even though it's a free account. But I do post videos and information over there that you're not going to be able to see on here. So go check us out on X. You'll be glad you did. All right, with that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, dry land strategies. Dry lands are a unique climate characterized by minimal rainfall and significant evaporation. These regions teach us vital lessons about water management, soil preservation, and resilient living. In dry lands, every drop of water is precious. Soils are vulnerable to salinization, and the sun's relentless heat necessitates careful protection. With thoughtful design and sustainable practices, we can turn these landscapes into productive ecosystems. In the dry lands, rain can be scarce and unpredictable. It could come in furious floods, rejuvenating the landscape for a brief cycle, only to retreat into dormancy as quickly as it arrived. Here we face a crucial task. to capture the fleeting water and store it effectively. In fact, 88% of water in these regions evaporates. So our goal must be to harness what we can, ensuring that plants thrive and moisture returns to the atmosphere. Temperature swings are another hallmark of dry lands. As the day heats up, air temperatures peak in the afternoon, only to plummet in the cool evening. The sun scorches the surface, yet just a meter below, the soil remains relatively stable in temperature. Wildlife adapts cleverly to this extreme climate, finding refuge in burrows and adopting nocturnal lifestyles. The alkaline nature of dryland soils means essential minerals are often locked away, making it difficult for plants to access the nutrients they require. Yet amidst these challenges, careful management and strategic planting can open up new possibilities. Integrating bird manure and specific mulches can restore nutrient balance, while the right water management techniques can sustain vibrant gardens. As we confront the reality of water scarcity, we must employ innovative strategies for water harvesting. We can direct rainwater from rooftops into storage systems, ensuring we make every drop count. Our focus should be on slowing, spreading, and soaking the water into the land, transforming a life-sustaining resource into a means of resilience. By implementing methods like swales and contour lines, we can enhance water retention, minimizing evaporation, and maximizing absorption. Planting vegetation not only rehydrates our environment, but supports diverse ecosystems. By designing mindful systems, we can turn adversity into opportunity, fostering resilient communities equipped to thrive in harmony with their environment. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
Bam! That's my dog right there. Yeah, Eric blows it up every single time. Bobby Spags in the house. Bobby, hey, if you would, put your information in here for Midwest Preparedness. We were just talking about it a moment ago, and folks are going to be glad. Trust me, that is an awesome event out there, too. William's going to be there. Joel Salatin's going to be there. And folks, you're going to be glad you. And plus, we're going to be sending a box. I think we're sending it tomorrow with a bunch of stuff from Bone Sauce to Comfrey to books, you name it. And of course, I'll autograph all the books and all that good stuff. So, Bobby in the house. So if you would, Bobby, put that stuff in there and I'll put it up on the screen and I'll talk about it for those who are going to be listening to the audio platform. And then here, Gold Country Homestead. Eric is just a couple of miles from me. Hope to meet him soon. Yeah. Wow. Small world. See, this is exactly what I was talking about. This, you know, this little podcast right here. And here it is. You just met somebody that's just down the road from you. So, there you go. All right, so let's get down to it. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, I've been a journeyman electrician for almost 30 years now, and I'm here to tell you when, you know, things get stupid, and right now they just might, you're not going to the club. You're going to his house, and the way to get home is EMP Shield should things go sideways. And then speaking of the house, when you get there, your number one threat, like right now, that's why picked up these earplugs, man. It's coming down like cats and dogs right now. Mm. And they're talking about thunderstorms. Well, your number one threat to your home is lightning. So if lightning gets past that EMP shield and Kentucky Fries is stuffing your house, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. So go check them out. Promo code PERMA will get you $50 off. All right. So here's what I want to get into right now. And I wish I had Bobby on the show right now with his son, because I know he could speak highly, or I know he would have high thoughts about what we're going to talk about. Now, everybody, folks, I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you right now. And I kind of, on X, I kind of put it out there. But like I said, if you want to see things that I'm talking about that I can't get away on here or just doesn't make sense, X is turning out to be a good place for that. You know, even though many of us over there are suppressed, unless you're, you know, falling in line. But anyway, I was at Lowe's yesterday, your mom and I. And going there, I come across this kid. I mean, he used to be a first-class Hooter Bandit down here at the farm store. Now he's an apprentice electrician. You know the one I'm talking about. Anyway, I see him in there, and he's in there with the owner of the company that he's working for doing electric work. And I said, he's like, hey, how's it going? So we kind of caught up for a minute. And then his boss and the owner of the company comes out of the bathroom. And we kind of met for a second there. And then he says, hey, Billy's a journeyman electrician. And then right there on the spot, man, he said, dude, you need a job, man. I'll hire you right now. Wow. Did you hear that thunder? Boy. Yeah. Hopefully, Amy and Ken, that your weather didn't come this way. But anyway, he tells me, hey, man, I'll hire you right on the spot. And I'm like, I'm retired, man. I'm done. I'm out. And he's like, you sure? I mean, this guy's like doing everything. He doesn't know anything about my qualifications or anything. And he just kind of asked about my background. And when I told him what it was, he was like, man, are you sure, man? I can pay you really well and, you know, get you off and running. I got more work than I know what to do with. I said, really? I said, you guys are walking out of this store, but you're not carrying anything. And then he tells me, well, the reason why is I went over here. I was going to buy some 14-2, 250-foot roll of 14-2, and that's copper wire for those that don't know. And he says, yesterday it was $62. I just went back there right now. It was $112.
Yep.
And in a day. It went from $62 to $112 in a day. Now, folks, I've been doing electric work for a long, long time. I've scrapped a whole lot of copper over the years. I made thousands back in the day selling copper. Every electrician does. I mean, you tear it out, you got to do something with it. Now, I've sold copper when it was, I remember when I was an apprentice, man, I thought it was something when it was 50 cents a pound. We thought we were making a killing. And then there was a time where it was up to $4 a pound. And they were stealing, when I was running work in Kansas City, they were stealing the wire literally behind the chain link fence. These bums somehow were getting over the fence, stealing 50-pound rolls of wire. And this was like telephone. We're talking like 18-gauge wire. You don't even get that much for it, but they were stealing it. Anyway, and how they were getting it over the 8-foot fence to this day, I'm sure I do not know. Anyway, I guess there ain't no stopping a crackhead. You know the deal. Anyway,
on that note, there was this house when I was a residential electrician. There was this like 12,000 square foot house, and all of it was like length. And we had to, and this was the only like town in Kansas City that required all copper service cable. Somebody was watching us from the get go when we rolled those reels up, because as soon as we ran that full 300 length service cable, it got stolen over the weekend, and they had to replace that. And man, we were all mad because it was a nightmare running that service cable up through the attic in the house, the whole length of the house. But yeah, somebody got rich off that.
Oh, I could tell you stories. Oh man, I could tell you stories. I mean, these guys will clean you out. And there was a time where Bobby says that's really messed up. Yeah. Hey, you ain't catching a crackhead. I don't care how much copper they're holding. You're not catching them. So, yeah. Anyway, he goes in there. So why do you think that's happening, folks? I mean, rhetorical, stupid question. These tariffs. Wow, man. You hearing this?
I heard that one. Yeah, I heard that one.
I got an EMP shield on his ass, so I'm not worried about it. Anyway, if you hear it sound in the background, folks, that's not sound effects. That's literally a thunderstorm rolling through here. Anyway, he gets out of there. I said, so what, you're not going to do the job? You just sat here offering me a job for 5 minutes. He says, no, you know, I'm going to go find another place. Here's the problem. When you bid a job, first of all this copper, where do you think it comes from, folks? When we scrap this copper, where do you think it goes? It goes straight to China. That's exactly, it's been going there for years. It goes over there, it's value added, and then it comes back here. That's how it goes. It's been that way for as long as I can remember being in the electrical industry. Now, that's just one industry. Now, let me ask you, regarding these tariffs, I guess all the other countries are basically, they're cutting a deal or they're cutting a deal. I'm not sure how all that's going down, but I can tell you this. America is about to find out in a big way just how many of your products come from China. And you're going to feel it. And the part that really sucks for so many of us out there is how many people right now are struggling right now to put bread on the table. It's going to be tough. At the same time where all these same people, Darren from Hacks for the Homesteader was out here recently. He was telling me that, yeah, he's like, yeah, a guy was like totally on board. As soon as Trump got in, he's like, okay, I'm out. I'm buying a boat. And if I had a nickel for all the people I've talked recently to other people that are in this space, in the YouTube space, and they're like, man, all the people have quit watching. Yeah. I told you this would happen. This is what happens. I just didn't expect it to happen this quickly. Well, folks, now that pendulum, you can see how quickly it turns, okay? So the way your bacon operates is that they're putting these pigs in boxes, basically sending them over to China to get it processed. I think it was Smithfield.
Yeah.
You tell me how that makes any sense at all. They raised here, and then they put them on the first thing smoking over to China, only to send them right back in a value added. You tell me how that makes sense. That's where a lot of that bacon in the store is coming from. What do you think is going to happen there? What do you think is going to happen? And this is likely not going to be resolved overnight. What you're almost seeing, look, I think what you see right now is a battle of which population revolts first. And I think Trump and the gang are banking on China revolting. Okay. Well, I ain't going to lose no sleep over that. Bottom line being, at the end of the day, when you get down to brass tacks on all this, I know people right now that are barely making it. Barely. Yeah. Now, where do you think all these nuts and bolts come? All that stuff in Harbor Freight, half the stuff at Home Depot and Lowe's. Where do you think all that comes from? What about all the people out there that, let's say, you know, small-time electrical contractor like this guy has bid a job for X amount based on the copper prices of the day. Now, all of a sudden, he's got to go in there, do this job. He's got to do this job at copper, now $50 higher than it was yesterday. He can't make money on a deal like that. Yeah. He can't. So they're in a bind. So folks, all you folks that went back into the matrix or the ones that know people who went back in the matrix, you might want to do a U-turn and come back out of it. I said this would happen, and nobody's even talking about how long this may go down. So we might want to think about ways in which we can insulate ourselves. And folks, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that by and large, in terms of my food, I'm largely unaffected around here, okay? I got 8 freezers full of meat, okay? Not bothering me. 8 freezers full of meat, not hurting me one bit. I know how to cure my own meat, make my own bacon, the whole 9 yards. You know, greenhouse, got that kicking. Got all kinds of food growing all around here. Okay, that's me, but that's not helping, you know, John Q. Citizen on the street. So this might be the impetus you need where all of you people that were doing the U-turn, okay, so maybe you might want to start thinking about buying local or regional because there's no tariffs on any of that, you dig? Now, yeah. I could go through about all the other implications that could go on out there in terms of, okay, so let's say China's got this tariff. Well, you know what? You don't just put a factory online tomorrow making bolts. Okay, that takes time to build, yeah, to retool and do all this stuff. The long-term implications could be fantastic, but the short-term, not going to be all that wonderful. So buy local and regional. You know, I'm talking like tools, materials, feed, fertilizers, things like that. I mean, are there any local places around there in terms of your food? Can you barter? Can you trade? Son, how much for a gallon of honey, how much money in terms of bartering do you think we've gotten out of that? Just on a gallon.
I don't even know if you can even calculate that. Cause I mean, we got so much doggone like mulch, for example, for free, just with a couple of Goodwill jars of honey. Like, a lot of high quality mulch that came in actually from China for free, just by bartering honey. And then a bunch of other things, like people just love honey. People lose their mind over honey specifically. Like, you could have the same jar full of like molasses, for example, people wouldn't be nearly as excited about it, but people love honey, especially whenever they know the person who had the bees that gave them the honey.
Yeah. Now let's talk about some of the things for your crops out there. Okay, you can go out there. I remember when this whole thing in Ukraine went down, I'm watching mild-mannered farmers losing their minds down at the farm store because they had to go out there and they wanted some fertilizer, and it was like, okay, through the Haber-Bosch process, that's how you come up with fertilizers. Okay, we don't use those things, and we're way more productive without them. So you might want to think about homemade fertilizers in the form of sun. Can you take one wild guess of what I'm talking about?
Compost is the biggest one, but... like, even, I mean, stay away from like human manure and stuff like that, but you can pee on a compost pile and help break it down. But compost is going to solve all the issues, can easily solve all the issues on your farm other than improper design.
There you go. So, I mean, it could be regular compost. I mean, this vermicomposting system I got out there, I add it to the compost because it's a different component. It's different microbiology altogether. But you can put them, Nephilim Ninja of Nibiru. Man, boy, they got some names on here tonight, boy. Nephilim Ninja of Nibiru. Okay, boy.
Hey, look at the shirt I'm wearing. The Nephilim Portal Baby shirt from Joel Thomas.
Man, I'm sitting here. I'm like monitoring the comments. I'm like, boy, this one came out of nowhere. All right, boy, I'm pretty sure you're somebody nobody's going to be messing with. Anyway, regarding those fertilizers, I mean, vermicomposting. I mean, that's something you can do in a very small space. Adding using biochar, Jack Spirico's done probably, you know, some of the seminal work on that. You can buy his course, and it's pennies is if you consider what you get out of it. I mean, it's really almost no cost at all. Compost teas and things like that we make all the time. How do you think we're rejuvenating that problem place by the river? Yeah, it's using all these things, taking all these things to task. And guess what? You don't have to spend money to do a lot of that stuff. Seed saving and propagation. Okay, right now is a pretty good time. You're late on a couple of things, but you're still planting early enough on others. You can be doing a lot of seed starting right now. Grow that food yourself. Folks, that's how you're going to have to get around this. I mean, like I said, I know people right now. I know lots of people who are already doing all they can. I mean, all they can to put bread on the table. And, you know, it's just tough. So you're
as far as the gardening and feeling like you're late or whatever, download this app right here. It's the green one. It's called, I'm trying to get it to focus, but it's called, Gardenate. It'll tell you exactly what to do, when to do it. It takes the guesswork out of a lot of it. So even though, like, traditionally, like right now, I'm late on a whole bunch of stuff, but I still got stuff in the garden, still planted. But, yeah, check out Gardenate. It'll tell you what to do and what you can plant in your month. And there might be some things that you weren't thinking of before that you can still get in the ground and growing.
There you go. Diversify your revenue streams, folks. I treat my businesses the same way. We have a number of businesses out there. Some of them I don't talk about because I want to be able to have this freedom of speech. And I don't tell everybody about all the ways I make a living, because I don't want anybody to compromise certain things. And then all of a sudden, I wind up like some of these other people out there that don't say what I know they think, because they're worried about somebody taking away their number one revenue stream. Well, having a single revenue stream, especially in this day and age, is a fool's errand. So think about those things, and also turning value-added products into something worthwhile. Like maybe you turn, for example, milk into cheese, or comfrey into comfrey salve, or herbs into tinctures, or something like that. You're going to have to get creative, folks, and then work locally, as locally as you possibly can. You know, easy way to make money. Easy. In the farm space is buying a bunch of root stock, buying some scion wood, and going about it that way. I mean, you can make a killing. You could honestly, I mean, people like Akiva Silver make all of his money for the year in like a couple of weeks, as I understand it. I mean, you can do that just selling it right out of his garage on Craigslist. So, you know, agrotourism classes. How many times did I tell everybody that enters any of the butchering classes that I do, I want you to go out there and start ultimately teaching yourself. Yeah, you need a little more training. You need some practice, but you can do that on your own once you have the main course. You can do my online course that I did with Jason from Sow the Land. It's probably going to be in the show notes. Take that course. Learn how to become a little bit competent. Start doing classes for free to anybody that'll pay attention, because when you teach, you learn twice.
Yep.
I want you to start teaching your own classes. It can be on anything. Show other people and how you're saving money. And you don't have to break the bank on it, but you got to charge something, because people will fundamentally think it's worthless. Use permaculture and regenerative practices like we do. That's another good way. I mean, all of this stuff. So what do you say when somebody says, hey, can you put the permaculture over there?
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. And I've gotten questions and comments about that, like, oh, I don't hurt. What is it? I have permaculture in this part of my yard, or I do permaculture over here. Or I wonder if I can fit in this section right here. It doesn't work like that. It's a whole system. So let's say you have your like permaculture over here, the stuff around that is still going to affect your permaculture spot, and your permaculture spot is going to affect the area around it as well. It's the full system. It's the full system of your property, and also outside your property as well, because you're dealing with factors that your property isn't necessarily producing. Like the demonstration site down the road, it receives all of the watershed from the neighboring 200-acre cattle ranch. So that's not something that's produced on the property, but it's something I still have to deal with. He's not doing permaculture, but the interaction that I have with his property is permaculture.
Absolutely. And folks, this is going to go without, this decision will be made for largely a lot of us out there right now. And that's going to be cutting unnecessary costs. And what that means for everybody is going to be obviously different. DIY and repair. You're going to have to learn to start doing some things yourselves, folks. I don't know where this leads. All I know is that I think all of us are about to get a hard lesson on how many things come from China. And it is going to blow your mind when you get down to brass tacks. That means you better be coming up with some options. A lot of people are just going to suck it up and buy it and do whatever. Well, you might want to think about some of that DIY and repair of yourself.
How many people's meds come from China?
Well, that's
like something you can't immediately control, and it's not something you can immediately cut out either. So that's something to think about as well.
There you go. That's a big one right there. And, read the book 1 second after. Well, it, not in that book, but the guy who wrote it, William Forston, he just lives down the road from me. He did an actuary. Later on, after he wrote that book, he had actuaries, insurance actuaries, go out there and say, okay, if there was an EMP shield or EMP, what would be the number one reason people would succumb and die? Believe it or not, it was pharmaceuticals. Cold turkey on pharmaceuticals. That was the number one. And how many people were on those serotonin drugs? Then they just go cold turkey. You're not supposed to do that. And now all of a sudden you got some major problems. I couldn't even believe it when he first came out with it. And these insurance guys are pretty much right on the money.
Just to put a hammer in that nail, in North Carolina, a lot of the first responders had to bring doctors and nurses with them because there were people that were trapped and had gone days without their meds. And they were only accessible because private organizations got together and created access to a bunch of these different places. I'm thinking of this one guy over in Elk Mills. Like, he had a very specific medical issue that only a very specific doctor could come and fix. And it, had there not been like a willing volunteer, he may have died in that house. I don't know. He wasn't able to get down off the mountain. Even in a side-by-side, he wasn't able to do that.
Wow. Well, think of other things as well, folks. I mean, as far as solutions, bulk buying opportunities or co-ops. Look, hey, man, at the end of the day, potatoes and beans and stuff like that, man, it's still cheap. You can feed, what were we getting beans for at one point in time? Like 35 cents a pound?
There were that one place in South Carolina, Hayes Food Products. I think they were selling like pinto and black bean, a bunch of different types of beans, for around 35 to 50 bucks per 50-pound bag, depending on what kind of bean you got. But No. They were heavy.
No, they
were 100-pound bags.
Yeah, for like 50 bucks. Yeah, so, I mean, actually cheaper than that. I'm sure it's higher now, but, I mean, you can get things in bulk. You may not like beans. You may not like rice. You may not like potatoes or sweet potatoes or stuff like that, but that's a way to stack a lot of calories, and a way to put back some food if you're hard up. I mean, now it may get that tough for a while. It's going to get worse if it gets better, but it's definitely going to get worse first. There's so many different things. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but farmers markets, you can make deals over there, CSA programs, things like that. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go about this. So many different options you can use. And you're just going to have to start thinking out of the box. But honestly, we've provided a lot of them out there. Things like the chicken tractor on steroids. Okay, can produce all your compost, all your eggs, and all the meat you need. You're going to have to get conversational compost making. Okay, you're going to mess it up a little bit. But you never really mess it up. I mean, at the end of the day, it's fortified mulch. Okay. Yeah. You know, worst
case. It just takes longer.
Just takes longer. That's exactly it. In a system like that. Now, what does it require out of you? Well, you're going to get strong. Okay. You're going to get better at a lot of I'm not even going to kid you, folks. I mean, that's the number one turnoff for a lot of people is that there's a lot of physical work involved. And there is to a certain extent, but it's really, you get used to it. It's not that bad. But hey, man, before I'm out here spending $20 a dozen for eggs or wherever it may go, I mean, who even knows where some of this stuff may go? Why not grow all of my compost? Okay, that's providing all my veggies. Okay, why not grow all my eggs? There's some protein. Why not grow all my chickens? You can do these things in a system like that. So there's so many different options out there. And I wanted to give you a couple of them because you could have knocked me over with a feather when copper prices went from $62 to $112 overnight, and it may go higher. So what does that mean for a lot of these jobs out there? If they weren't already locked in, and if you were a big contractor, you can lock in prices, okay? If you're one of these small town guys and you're buying stuff off the shelf at Lowe's, you're through. You're screwed. And in fact, the work this guy wanted me to do, because he knew because I told him my background and what I spent most of my time doing industrial work. Well, there's these industrial jobs that he's done mostly commercial and stuff like that, where he could bid it. I could go do the work and stuff like that. But hey, I'm just not interested, man. I'm a farmer. If you see me back on my tools, it's because I had to be. Not looking forward to anything like that. Well, son, anything you want to add to that? I mean, as far as these tariffs and the things that may unfold right now and how people might insulate themselves.
Yeah. Keep in mind also that some of these stores are going to take advantage of the situation and immediately hike up prices, even though like that Lowe's, that's what they're selling. Isn't the recent batch that they just bought from China. Because it hit a distribution center and then it got distributed to that Lowe's. But some of these places are going to take advantage of the fact that there's like, you know, soon to be coming high prices and whatnot. But yeah, try to, as far as your food goes, try to buy in bulk as much as possible. And then also like summer's coming up here in Texas. That's a big deal because it's freaking hot in every direction. Yeah. So try to insulate your south facing walls at all, if at all possible. Yeah, try to save energy, buy in bulk, buy food in bulk. I know there's Azure Standard. That's a place where we're actually going to start buying food in bulk from. And yeah, also get to know some local farmers. Start going to farmers markets, developing relationships, see if there's some sort of subscription you can get to so that way you have like for sure food on a schedule. Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways to combat the skyrocketing prices, but you just got to kind of get creative right now.
Yeah, because they're not going to be subsidizing you and me, at least not right off the bat. But honestly, this thing, who knows where it may lead? I mean, this may be our effort to get China to pull the rug out from under, I don't know, maybe attack Taiwan, whatever the case may be. But I think it comes down to a battle of which country is going to revolt first. We are a society that knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. They are a society, on the other hand, that is used to having limited means. Okay. They have a population that is used to having limited means. And if you think for a minute that China will not kill 100 million people, look, everybody wants to go on about Hitler. Everybody wants to go on about that, but nobody ever talks about the genocide. I mean, we don't even know how many people Mao killed in China. The estimates are anywhere between 40 to 100 million people. And that's not even touched in the American history books, okay? Nobody ever talks about that. You know how many people died in the Holodomor? Stalin killed probably 8 million people alone in Ukraine. Alone. And we still don't know how many he killed. Pol Pot killed a third of his population in Cambodia. Okay, but nobody ever talks about that. We only talk about the Holocaust. And those numbers are not even close to accurate. But I won't get started on something like that. My point being is if you think China won't do it again, they've already done it before. They're like, okay, we got people to spare, but they don't. But, you know, like I said, they killed 100 million people before probably, and those are likely conservative estimates. Yeah. So we're in for a ride right now, folks. But look, you got to keep your stuff. You got to keep your You got to keep your powder dry in so many different ways. Yeah, Kentucky Sustainable Living in the house.
Yeah.
That one too, son, right?
Yep. Look what I got with me right now. It's the vehicle med bag. If you're interested on a very, very good price vehicle med bag, hit up Kentucky Sustainable Living. They've got, like, I actually went through and compared some prices. For what they've got in the bag, it's like there are easily people charging double for the same stuff or even less stuff. So, yeah. It's a pretty cool deal. Go check them out. And then, yeah, come get tickets to the Kentucky Sustainable Living. It's a, like, awesome festival. And, again, like Dad was saying at the beginning of the podcast, the best part about these festivals is that you get to build a community there. Like, you might not live in Kentucky, but come in from out of town, and there's probably somebody that lives not too far from you at that festival. Same thing with every other festival.
And then when you go there, you make friends quickly. It's not like, even if you're kind of an introverted person, all you got to do, go up to anybody and say, hi, you know, what do you do? Just ask them about themselves, and all of a sudden you're going to see them come alive. And then when I go to these things, you know, Jason and Shelley up there, it's like, you know, we're all friends now. And so many others that go to this thing, that when you go to these events, man, you're just going to find out how people are doing things a little bit differently. And then you find out, okay, is there something I can take home here? Or maybe they take something back to their place that they learned from you. If nothing else, you feel less alone in the world. That's a fact. Yeah. So go check out Kentucky Sustainable Living. Hey, Jason, if you would, give me the details on your next event. We'll go ahead and start letting everybody know about it. And like he says, yeah, I hate it when they end. Yeah, because it's, you're there with a bunch of people that you know you can relate to. Folks, you're just going to have to get off your butt and go out there and do it. But look, we are in some weird times right now, and it's crazy, it's outrageous, and it's unpredictable in so many ways. But some of these things are predictable. Like I said, if copper prices went up $50 overnight for crying out loud, for 14 2 wire, and like William said, you already had that sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, and 14.2 is some of the cheapest Romex you can buy. Like, that's for like going from a switch to a light bulb. That's what that's used for. Some people use it for, you know, wiring outlets and stuff like that. That's not necessarily the best stuff you could use. But, yeah, it's a very small diameter copper.
Yeah, I use number 12 for stuff like that. But these days, I mean, people are doing whatever they can get their hands on. So, folks, look, it's crazy. Insulate yourselves. All you people that went into the Matrix, you need to come out of it. You know, share this podcast with others out there. And please go to the wherever you listen to your podcast, if you're listening to the audio version of it, give us a 5-star review and give us a thumbs up. And like I said, go check us out on Patreon. So where can everybody find you?
The Permaculture Consultant. Anywhere you want to go, you can find me with the Permaculture Consultant. Remember, guys, properties, Stephen Jones, I saw the one you sent me. That's a little out of my price range right now. But yeah, if you guys have any opportunities in Tennessee, send me an email at thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com.
There you go. Oh, yeah. My man, Flannel Farms in his house. Yeah. Folks, look, I'm not even going to kid you. Things are getting crazy. Until next time, you know the deal. Stay alert.
Stay alive. The knowledge rings with roots that run deep. Wisdom from soil, permaculture dreams. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth. Feeling nature's groove. Who's got the answers? All we need to do. Listen to the earth, they got us through. Let's see the shame. Watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, for the magic's alive. Tune it to the beat, feel the fire and thrive.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.